Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we're live on the air right now with the Basic Gospel. Keep listening. You'll hear how the Basic Gospel intersects with your daily life and how the Word of God can help you experience freedom and true life in Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or if there's something you'd like to talk about, call right now. 1-800-677-9377. That's a toll-free call. 1-800-677-9377. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We've been talking about forgiveness. We've been talking about the love of God, how those two dots connect in the cross of Jesus Christ. Love the passage in Romans 5 where Paul says this, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then he goes on to say, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Yeah. Why are we saved from God's wrath? Because we've been justified by faith through his blood. And since we've been justified, our sins have been sent away. And the reason they've been sent away is because Jesus Christ took the punishment. He suffered the wrath that we justly deserved. So not only do we need to come to a point and realize that we are forgiven, that our sins have been forgiven, but we also need to realize that we have been made right in God's sight. We have been given the very righteousness of Christ. That is just an amazing truth to know and understand and to rest in. And I think that's what gets us all confused. When we sin, we certainly don't feel right with God. And so we want to do something to get that feeling back, to get into God's good graces, to get that right standing back with him. Well, there's nothing that we can do. There's absolutely nothing that we can do. We were justified freely by his grace. That is a gift. The fact that he sent away our sins, that was a gift of grace. The fact that he exchanged that for his righteousness, he gave us his righteousness, that's a gift of grace. All we can do with a gift is to receive it and say thank you. That's what faith is. It's that receiving of what God has provided for us in Christ. So have you received the forgiveness of sins? Have you received the gift of God's righteousness? If you've received Christ, the answer is yes, because forgiveness, righteousness are bound up in him. And if you have him, you have those wonderful gifts of grace.
You have everything. This is, of course, Basic Gospel. We'd love to hear from you. The lines are pretty much wide open right now. 1-800-677-9377, toll free. 1-800-677-9377. If something like you talked about, well, give us a call right now.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to O'Fallon, Missouri, and talk to Brad, listening to us on the Internet. Hi, Brad.
Hi, Bob. Yesterday's program, you talked to Precious Louise, and she had a question that a lot of people have about walking in the Spirit. Would you, Bob George, for, you know, until his stroke, always spoke about availability, about resting in Christ. Would you please discuss Hebrews 4, 9, and 10 in conjunction with Romans 12 and how it explains and describes how you can, fulfill Galatians 5, 16 and walking in the Spirit?
Okay, Brad, good question
today. I'll go ahead and free up a line and listen on the Internet.
Okay, well, it's great to hear from you, Brad. Thanks for a good question. And certainly as Brad drops off, that will open up another line at 1-800-677-9377. Brad's question as it relates to Hebrews 4, 9, and 10 really ties back to what we were just talking about in Romans 5, how God demonstrates his own love for us in this while we were still sinners. Christ died. Christ did something on our behalf, something that we could not do for ourselves. So we're either going to accept what Christ did or we're going to reject what Christ did. If we reject what Christ did, then it's left up to us to come up with some sacrifice or some ritual or some religious service to try to gain God's favor. So in Hebrews 9, it says, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. And then he says, let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that none will fall by following their example of disobedience. So what is that rest? How do we experience that rest? It's experienced by faith. And what that means is that we rest from our own work of trying to gain God's love and acceptance. And that's what all of us do. I mean, we are natural born legalists. We have a tendency toward law. Just give me the rules, give me the regulations, let me go about trying to live up to them. That's what I want to do. But that's not faith. That's contrary to faith. That's at the opposite end of the spectrum. Faith is receiving what God has done for us in Christ. So Christ took away our sins. He shed his blood once and for all. And in exchange, he gave us his righteousness. We couldn't do anything to earn that. So we receive it. And when we receive it, what that means is that we're resting in what Christ has provided for us. That's what this Sabbath rest is all about. And as we rest in what he's provided for us, we can also start resting in the fact that he's alive, living in us. And our job is simply to trust him to live his life through us. That's the whole gospel story. It's the good news of Jesus. The life that he lived back then, the death that he died, the resurrection that he experienced, so that he could now live his life in and through us today. That's the gospel story. That's the good news. Forgiveness was a necessary part of that. He had to take away what killed us to begin with, so that he could come and live inside of us. So you have to receive that forgiveness so that you can experience his life to the full.
Absolutely. Well, of course, we appreciate hearing from Brad, and we appreciate hearing from all of those of you who call to be a part of this broadcast called Basic Gospel. We want to hear from you right now. The lines are pretty much wide open. 1-800-677-9377, toll-free, 1-800-677-9377. I've got an email this morning from Ken, who lives in Apple Valley, California. Very, very direct question, just a very simple sentence. I seldom hear you refer or preach from the Old Testament. Why?
Good question, isn't it? Well, when you look at the Bible and how it's laid out, it is the story of Jesus Christ from start to finish. We get glimpses of this great gospel narrative near the very beginning. In Genesis chapter 3, we get a little brief snippet of what this gospel is going to be, that somebody's coming. There's the seed that's going to show up, and through this seed, some things are going to happen. And as we move forward through the Old Testament, that story gets filled out. And finally, we come to the point in the New Testament of seeing this story fulfilled in Christ Jesus. He was the promised one. He was the one that was anticipated. And so now we have Jesus, and we see the gospel accounts. And this Jesus died, and he ushered in a new covenant. And this new covenant is where we live today. And if we're going to find out about this new covenant, we have to go to where it's written about. And it's written about extensively in the New Testament, in the letters of Paul and the book of Hebrews. And so we want to go there and spend the vast majority of our time understanding this new covenant in which we live today. Mm-hmm. Now, once we understand the new, then we can actually go back to the old and have the key to understanding what was being talked about in the Old Testament. So why we spend the bulk of our time in the New Testament is because that's where we live today. We're on this side of the cross, not the back side of the cross. And so I think we need to spend the bulk of our time learning about this new covenant.
I think that's pretty good reasoning.
Yes, indeed.
This is Basic Gospel. And friends, Bob Christopher's book, Love Is all about the truth about God's love for you. And it's available to you right now for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. If you'd like to have a copy, simply go online to basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net or phone 1-800-727-2828. Again, that number toll free, 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. Love Is by Bob Christopher, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. It's all about what love is.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, the second phrase in that definition, love is patient, was number one. Love is kind is the second phrase in that definition. And we think of kindness in terms of character, gentleness, that sort of thing. But when you look in the Word of God, kindness is an action word. It's being useful to somebody, providing something that they need. So if you're driving down the road, you see somebody stranded with a flat tire, you pull off the side of the road, you help them change the tire and get them back on the road. You've been kind to them. Why? Because you've been useful. You've provided something that they needed. Well, God's love is kindness in action. He provides something that we needed. We were dead in sin, and in his kindness, he provided life. That's exciting. Yeah. You realize that God, even today, is treating us kindly. He's providing things that we need: wisdom, understanding, enlightenment, strength, power, all of those things that enable us to live out this grace of God in everyday life.
Right.
So that's what we're talking about in Love Is. We're looking at the actions that God takes on our behalf for our benefit. It is a really practical, practical book, and I think it will open your eyes to see God's love in a whole new way.
Yeah. Love Is by Bob Christopher, and again, yours this month for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Go online to basicgospel.net or call 1-800-727-2828.
Let's go to New Jersey and talk to Dwight, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Dwight.
How you doing?
Doing fine.
I got the best scripture that describes who Jesus Christ is, and it's in plain, ordinary English. If you go to 1 John 5:7, but it has to be in the King James Version, and it is so explicit. And if you also go to John 3:13, that also tells you who Jesus Christ is.
Okay. Was that just the point you were making,
or did you have a question?
It describes, you know, that it describes the Trinity, but it also describes the Trinity, but it only describes it completely in the King James Version.
Yes, that's true. I mean, in verse 7 of 1 John in the NIV, it says there are three that testify: the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. In the King James, it would say the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one, and there are three that testify on earth. So, yeah, that's the addition there. But why do you say that those are the most complete statements about who Jesus is?
Because it tells him that it says that he is God.
That's exactly right, and that's the point that. So many of us fail to understand, or if we understand that, fail to fully accept. There is so much talk about Jesus Christ, and there has been so much talk about Jesus Christ for 2,000 years. I mean, controversy was swirling about his identity when he was walking planet Earth. That's why he asked his disciples, "What are people saying about me? Who do they say that I am?" And then he turned the question onto them: who do you say that I am? I think it's the most compelling question that's ever been asked. It's the question of every generation, of every person, that must be asked and answered. And I think the Word of God is very clear, Dwight, just as you've pointed out, that Jesus Christ is God. And when we fully understand that Jesus Christ is God, then I think that engenders a response of faith in whatever circumstances we find ourselves in. If he's God, he's certainly bigger than those circumstances. If he's God and he's demonstrated his love for us through his death on the cross, then we can know that he has our best interest at heart, that he fully loves us and that he will cause whatever circumstance we're in to work together for good. So powerful stuff, Dwight. We certainly appreciate you taking the time to weigh in on that today. Thank you.
Yeah, I was trying to witness to a Jehovah Witness, and when I discovered that scripture, they couldn't do nothing with it. So I just want to pass that on, that if you use the King James Version, that if you can't believe after that, then you'll never believe. He says that the three are one.
Yes, indeed. Pretty plain, pretty simple, isn't it? Well, thanks, yeah. Dwight. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this book, Love Is.
1-800-677-9377. Plenty of open lines, plenty of time remaining on the clock. We want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis. Again, thank you for joining us. Please join us at 1-800-677-9377.
Well, let's go to Louise in Brooklyn, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Louise.
Hi. You know, I was just, God bless you. I was just talking to you yesterday, and I was so, so overjoyed. I mean, and when I hung up the phone, I just felt God was present with me. But something else happened again today. Is this the evil one? I've been getting bombarded with things, like, for the last past month, and today, yesterday, something happened. Today, really, something happened pretty big, and it's not too good. It doesn't look too good for me. Everything might be taken away from me, my home, everything. Is this the evil one doing this? Is this him?
Well, certainly, Louise, the evil one is active. And he's actively trying to deceive us, to accuse us, to get us to think less of ourselves than what God says about us. That's his whole purpose. So things happen, our flesh gets in the way, and we start defining ourselves by those things instead of what God says about us. So yes, you have an enemy. And that enemy is actively trying to pull you away from the love of Jesus Christ. And recognize that. Recognize that things that come into your life, can just be life itself.
Yeah.
Or it could be things that, the enemy is trying to lure you away from who you are in Christ.
Okay. All right. I just, didn't understand. Like yesterday, I was so, which you should be overjoyed every day in Christ Jesus.
Well, Louise, here's the deal. We're emotional creatures. We feel things. We feel things through our senses, but we also have emotional feelings. And those emotions are driven by our thinking. So if in our minds we're thinking, oh, wow, God must really be ticked at me, or God must be mad at me, or God must be, fill in the blank, your emotions are going to respond to that, and you're going to feel distant from him. You're going to feel frightened of him. You're going to feel like he's a million miles away. But those are just feelings that have come about based on what you are thinking. So that's why the Word of God is so very strong on renewing of the mind, allowing the truth of God's Word, the truth of God's love, to change the way we think in life circumstances. And that becomes the foundation that enables us to power through the difficulties of life. So,
have always faith, right, and trust.
That's exactly right, Louise.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome, Louise. Thanks for your call. Well, let's go to Joe in New Jersey. Hi, Joe.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Yeah, not so good.
Well, how can we help?
Just,
we would love to help.
I just need some help, I've been Christian for so long, and I'm still battling with homosexual thoughts, and I don't know what to do. I'm trying to live my life, but just things getting, you know, feel like I'm moving two steps ahead and then six steps back and ahead and back. And it's just kind of like, it's just, I don't know what to do. I'm desperate, you know.
So, Joe, you're having homosexual thoughts. And so the next, you know, the next step is to ask the question, well, am I homosexual? So that seems like what you're wrestling with. Thoughts don't determine identity. Temptations don't determine a person's identity. None of those things determine who we are. And from God's vantage point, there are only two identities out there. You're either lost and a sinner, or you're saved and a child of God. So, Joe, you've come to Christ by faith. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yes.
Okay. So you've received Christ. You've been made alive in Christ?
Yes.
Okay. So your identity is child of God. That's who you are. Okay? You can't be anything other than that. God has declared you to be a child of God. Read 1 John chapter 3, the first couple of verses, and let that identity really take hold in your heart and in your mind. I am a child of God, not because of anything that I've done, but because of what Christ has done, because of the fact that he has made me alive. He has given me new birth, and he has added me to his family. That's why you're a child of God. You are there because of the grace of God. So that's your identity. Now, as a child of God, you just, at this point, are having thoughts race through your mind that are contrary to your true identity. Well, guess what, Joe? I have thoughts race through my mind almost every day that are contrary to my true identity. Every single person on the planet does as well. So you're not unusual to have those type of thoughts. All of us, and all of us guys, Joe, we all have sexually immoral thoughts racing through these heads of ours. I mean, you can't help it. You go down the highway and you see these billboards. You turn on television sets and you see all the images on television, and you just can't help but have those thoughts racing through. But how do you overcome those thoughts? You recognize that those thoughts aren't your identity. They don't define who you are. The work of Jesus Christ defines who you are. And so that's where you start in this process, Joe. Who am I? Well, I'm a child of God. How did I get to be a child of God? By the grace of God. He took me out of my condition of spiritual death. He gave me life. He changed my identity from sinner to saint. That's who you are right now, Joe. That's good news, isn't it?
It is. Thank you.
And if that's who you are, then you just say, well, those are just crazy thoughts that are going through my head. I'm just going to reject them and move forward. That's how you handle that. And you have to realize, too, Joe, that, you know, we as children of God still have flesh hanging on us. And this flesh has sin. And so we're going to have those old fleshly desires. Those will never go away. But again, those don't determine who we are. Joe, let me put you on hold. We'll send you some information, okay? Thanks for your call today.
Yes, indeed. And as we close today's broadcast, we do so, of course, with a reminder that Basic Gospel depends on you, our listeners, to be able to remain on the air every day with the truth of God's Word. And to express our thanks for your generous gift at this time, we'll send you a copy of Love Is by Bob Christopher. You know, God does want you to know that He loves you, that you can rely on His love, and that when you abide in His love, you'll see that God's love never fails. If you'd like to get a copy, we'd like to get one to you. To complete your gift and request your copy of Love Is by Bob Christopher, simply go online to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net, or you can call 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours and speak with our operator. Again, that number, 1-800-727-2828 for Love Is by Bob Christopher. And if you use social media, obviously you're not alone. We use it too. We hope you'll like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And until tomorrow at the same time, for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the staff, Bob Davisine, God bless you and goodbye from Dallas.